This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is The Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, and a great day particularly for those of us who want to see a Republican victory in the upcoming elections for control of the United States House of Representatives, for control of the U.S. Senate, for many governorships, all kinds of expectations of a big Republican tidal wave. What could get in the way? What could spoil the whole thing? And what could actually put Republicans or conservatives, or at least many prominent conservatives, on the wrong side of history about as emphatically as they possibly could be? It is something called the Rights Russia temptation. At least that's what they call it in a headline in the Wall Street Journal. There's a powerful piece by Jeffrey Scott Shapiro, who is a veteran attorney, a prosecutor in D.C., a former U.S. government official in the Trump administration, where he served with President Trump as a senior advisor to the U.S. Agency for Global Media. He has written this piece warning against some of the Marjorie Taylor Greens and Madison Cawthorns of this world, who are very outspokenly pro-Putin and anti-Ukraine. Mr. Shapiro, thank you for writing the piece, and thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure, and it's enormously important, and it's especially important right now, don't you think, with Marine Le Pen making a serious run on the French presidency. She's one of those so-called conservatives, right-wingers, who just seems to have a sweet spot for Vladimir Putin, no?
Correct. You're seeing this, you know, in different places right now. It's interesting. You're kind of seeing a shift to the extreme in different countries. In some places, such as Latin America, you're actually seeing this pink tide of socialism moving to the left, because you're seeing so much successful Russian state propaganda that's being pushed in that direction. They feel like that is to their benefit to push it in that direction. And then in other countries, you're seeing this sort of shift to the extreme right. The reality is that Russian intelligence isn't really to the right or the left. They are simply pro-Russia, and they are interested in creating chaos in other countries to remain in a powerful position. And they know how to play each organization and each side to the best of their ability by catering to people on the left or the right, and that is how they endear themselves to both sides, and that is how they get a hold on power.
Why do you think that there has at least been more attention to outspoken people on the right who are pro-Putin than for any corresponding expression on the left in Putin's behalf?
Well, I think that, probably there are some people that are a bit surprised and confused to see this arise on the right. I don't think a lot of people expected to ever see Republicans supporting or at least showing some kind of sympathy or making excuses or justification for an invading Russian force. I was talking to someone the other day, and I literally said that I never thought in a million years that some of the people that I was brought up with that shouted Wolverines while watching Red Dawn would be supporting a Russian force that is invading an innocent country that is fighting for its freedom, that is doing everything that we say as patriots we believe in. So to me, this sentiment is so fundamentally at odds with what we believe, and it goes so deeply against the Republican heritage and its nature that it's very confounding for a lot of people. It's alarming and it's surprising, and I think a lot of people want to struggle to try to understand it.
Okay, so let's try to understand it together, because I certainly have been one of those people. It just makes no sense. Why would Marjorie Taylor Greene, I mean, I understand she believes in QAnon, but which means you can believe in anything. But to actually be so clearly and outspokenly anti-Ukraine and pro-Russia in this confrontation, what is a conceivable motivation here?
It's very simple, Michael. That's what they're being told to say. These people all talk to one another. I know a lot of them. I know how the circles work. And some of the newer people to the movement, whether they're freshman representatives or some of the younger people in the movement, such as Madison Cawthorn, or you have this guy Joe Kent, these are people who are probably taking cues from more senior people in the movement. I'm not going to get into specific names, but, you know, people who have more experience, people who are either on national television or have had influence in the past administration, and they're simply parroting what they're being told. And this is sort of how the breakdown occurs. You know, you have sort of two parts to this, I think, Michael. You have sort of a non-interventionist sentiment that arose out of resistance to the war in Iraq. And from that, people started to develop this mistrust for the government that arose into this concept of the deep state. And that sort of evolved into a anti-NATO perspective. And then you have Russian disinformation and propaganda that's being fueled through certain channels, right? And remember, even though it's coming from the Kremlin and it's going through RT and Sputnik, those journalists talk to other journalists who do not work for the Russian Federation. There are foreign correspondents that work in other places, including Moscow and Havana, and they eventually start to become influenced by the perspectives of their own sources and the people that they're interviewing. Let's not forget that Russia is very good at treating certain correspondents well. They invite them to the Valdai Conference every year, where they go to this sort of spectacular convention, and they're handed all these gifts, and they meet all kinds of impressive people. In Havana, you know, if you don't tout the line, you're eventually sort of expelled. There are correspondents down there that I've literally heard have said things like, I can't say this, I can't say that, or I'll lose my credentials. So there's sort of an impact of pro-Russian propaganda that goes through a certain pipeline, and then it eventually meets up with this already very deeply embedded mistrust for the, quote, deep state, which I've learned from my own experience of having served in the Trump administration, can sometimes dangerously get into anti-U.S. or anti-U.S. government, right? There's a fine line there. And you put those two things together, and what ends up happening is some people, probably without realizing what they're going through, they slip from going from non-intervention to anti-deep state to anti-NATO, and suddenly they're promoting a perspective that starts to sound a lot like sentiment for Putin and for the Kremlin. And you know what? If we could just figure out a way to work with him, then maybe we can all have nice things, and we don't have to have World War III, and we can all have peace, all the while disregarding the cruelty and war crimes that Russia is actually committing. I don't know if
that's all we're saying, but give
it makes
peace
a lot of
chance,
sense to me.
Right? Yeah, no, I think that's a very big part of an explanation. But we're in an election year right now, and do you think there really are votes for people that, like J.D. Vance, who's running for Senate in Ohio and has a tough primary anyway? Do you think he gains from saying that I don't care what happens in Ukraine? I mean, do you think that people on TV gain anything by saying some people actually that they are rooting for Russia in this conflict between what seems to me very clear, good and evil?
No, I don't. I think it's actually very damaging, and I think it could have very long-term catastrophic effects on the Republican Party as a whole. This moment may actually end up going to the Democrats, even though President Biden hasn't done a great job on this so far. You can't say he's exactly done the worst job. And if Republicans are remembered for these extreme statements that are later on going to be immortalized the way Chamberlain's actions were immortalized in terms of giving away the Sudetenland, if the statements that are remembered are Joe Kent saying that Putin's demands for these regions in Ukraine are reasonable, that they should just surrender part of their country to Russia, then there's going to be this long-term damaging impact on the Republican Party and this victory.
By the way, I agree with you. Stay. If mute, Jeffrey, if you can hang with me, I'd like to continue the conversation.
Sure.
About where this goes in terms of the Republican future, the conservative future, and What can President Trump himself do about this if he does want to run a credible campaign for president? We'll be right back on the Medved Show. Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show, speaking with Jeffrey Scott Shapiro, who is a prominent attorney, journalist, investigative journalist, and served as senior advisor to the U.S. Agency for Global Media during the Trump administration. And he begins his column today, which is called The Right's Russia Temptation, by saying, I served in the Trump administration and fiercely defended the former president. During his administration, no dictator dared do anything close to what Vladimir Putin is doing in Ukraine now. But the things some America First conservatives are now saying about Mr. Putin alarm me. And the same way that it is surprising to me, Jeffrey, as it is to you, that this is dividing conservatives, you know what else is surprising? Is the unity of Democrats. I mean, have you heard any prominent either counselor to Joe Biden or member of the administration or member of the Democratic Party in any way show support or sympathy for Vladimir Putin or to deny the obvious proposition that the man is evil?
No, not at all. And that's why I'm saying, Michael, I'm really concerned as a Republican that the Democrats are going to walk away with the faith of a moral victory here when this is over. And I think that's really unfortunate because, of course, the Republicans, the party of Reagan, who called the Soviet Union the evil empire, this is really an extraordinary moment for us. This is an opportunity for us to stand up for what we believe in, what we've always talked about. And somehow we are letting these people hijack the identity of the party and place us in a historical classification which we do not belong.
Let me ask you this, because you obviously know a great deal about it. You've been there at the centers of the MAGA world. It is true that Paul Manafort, before he was the campaign manager for President Trump, had basically been managing the campaign for Viktor Yanukovych, who was the Putin's man in Ukraine, the guy who was thrown out in the Democratic Revolution of 2014. And then Michael Flynn, General Flynn, who of course has been a leading affiliate of QAnon and Stop the Steal, but he had taken a great deal of money to go over and speak at Putin's birthday bash, right?
You know, it's really interesting to look back at that time period now in retrospect. I can tell you, Michael, that I've had several conversations with other Republicans and even other Trump appointees that think the way I do. And we all kind of ask ourselves, was there something there that we weren't seeing? Is it something that's totally new? Or were these undercurrents always there and we just weren't really paying attention to them? Or we were dismissing them because there was so much negativity about the Mueller investigation. But, you know, the thing about the Mueller investigation that I want to talk about for a moment, because I'm a former prosecutor myself, is that I have to tell you, I thought that they did quite a good job, you know, and even President Trump has said that, because, of course, it came out to some extent in his favor. But, you know, people in this country were so focused on the, quote, collusion dynamic. They didn't look at the other findings that Robert Mueller came up with, which was that Russian intelligence was, in fact, interfering in American operations. They were interfering in election operations. They were injecting disinformation and propaganda into our news stream. And there were over 2,000 indictments of Russian intelligence officials. When you think about what an extraordinary revelation and accomplishment that is, people just don't think about it. And if it happened back then, in 2015 and 16, et cetera, what makes anyone think it's not happening right now? So, to what extent there were things happening behind the scenes that a lot of us didn't know about, I don't really know. But I can tell you that people are now starting to ask questions because these people are creating a very negative optic situation for the entire movement. If anything, I think they're creating a lot of damage because they're making it appear as if the Trump faction of the party is living up to the very accusations that the left was making all along, right? There's all of this pro-Putin, pro-Russia sentiment, and everyone is asking themselves, where is this coming from?
Okay, and that brings me to the question I posed right before the break, Jeffrey, which is, what about President Trump himself? I mean, his initial reaction saying that invading Ukraine was a work of genius, that it showed that Putin was very, very savvy, that he was very smart. Doesn't he need, if he actually wants to run for president with a realistic chance of winning the nomination, let alone winning the election, doesn't he need to get very clear in terms of defense of Ukraine and its national existence and opposition to grotesque war crimes?
Yes, I think he does. You know, one of the things I noticed about the Trump administration when I was in the middle of it, and it was kind of, I feel that it did a little more harm than good. You could look at it from both perspectives. I was always hearing this, and it was certainly very true. He's an international businessman, of course, and they were viewing things much through the lens of how to run a major corporation. That's why they hired Rex Tillerson at the State Department, and that's why they were sort of operating the White House like a business in the sense of, let's keep the most experienced people around. This, of course, worked against us eventually because we kept a lot of Obama appointee holdovers just because they had experience and they were working against us. People in business don't always take ideology into account as much as they should or at all. And so I think a lot of President Trump's perspective on Putin in the past was sort of his background as a CEO of the Trump Organization saying, hey, you know, I'm a really successful, powerful CEO. This guy's kind of like a really successful, powerful CEO. That's good. But you can't really do that in politics. You have to take philosophy and ideology into account. And, of course, eventually what ended up happening in our own administration was the people that we let stay that disagreed with us, they were working against us. And if you don't take that into account with foreign leaders, even though to some extent you might be able to sort of control them the way he was with KJU and kind of get them to stand down, it can also work against you. One of the disadvantages also to that is that there are pro-democracy dissidents in this country that are looking to America for moral support. And when they see the President of the United States at least appearing to show some kind of friendly interaction or respect or admiration for the repressor, I think it can be very damaging. So, yes, the answer to your question is I think that he does need to make those clear statements. He did call it a Holocaust on March 3rd, which I thought was very good, but there needs to be a lot more than that. And I think he has to avoid endorsing people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who made these ridiculous statements about Nazis overrunning Ukraine. I don't think he should be endorsing those kinds of candidates.
Well, there are a lot of problems with Marjorie Taylor Greene, including the theory of Jewish space lasers being responsible for wildfires in California. But the fascinating thing to me here is that that no one's spoken up as clearly and forcefully as you have, for which I salute you, while all of this was unfolding. There's something else that people need to speak up on, which is the association between homeless encampments and crime, violent crime. We'll talk about that and much more coming up on The Medved Show, 1-800-955-1776.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. President Biden is unveiling new tough gun policies. In remarks at the White House, Biden is announcing steps to curb so-called ghost guns, which are untraceable.
We're going after rogue gun dealers. The last time we had data on this was more than 20 years ago. 5% of gun dealers sold 90% of illegal guns found at crime scenes. 5% sold 90%. These merchants of death are breaking the law for profit.
UNICEF says nearly two-thirds of Ukrainian children have been displaced since the start of the Russian invasion. An official says the situation is dire for those in cities like Mariupol, where kids have gone weeks without running water and working sanitation. The agency warning of the long-term effects on those kids' lives, education, and well-being. This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Michael Medved show. It is a terrific opportunity right now with all of the talk about Israel and trying to combat terror threats and working to actually scale back some of the depredations that are being set up by Iranians in Syria. Israel's economy is also booming. And particularly in the high-tech sector, particularly with some of the most exciting startups in the world. And you can get a front-row seat. You can actually participate in some of these remarkable investments through our crowd. My brother's company, it is headquartered in Jerusalem, but it actually reaches around the world. 45% of their new startups are right here in the United States, powering this country. And to read about them and to see what's going on, go to michaelmedved.com. Just click on the banner for our crowd, and they will give you profiles of some of these companies that you can participate in without a tremendous commitment of resources, because this is crowdsourcing for funding these startups, and some of which are much more beyond startups now and are become actually companies here in this country that you've heard of and that are serving the American people and doing very well for their investors. Check it out at michaelmedved.com and go to the banner for our crowd, and you will have a free subscription to ask their newsletter, which is completely free. Okay, not completely free right now. The terrible cost of what people believe to be compassion. We have one of our periodic Michael Medved homeless solidarity.
Another homeless solidarity moment from your cultural crusader.
Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again. I don't like work, and work don't like me. And that is the reason I am so hungry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again.
Okay, this is actually an extraordinarily important and very disturbing revelation for which I can thank two liberals, frankly. And normally, when you talk about liberals talking about the homeless issue, you don't get anything straight, but this is getting something straight that I think everybody should pay careful attention to. Danny Westneat, who is a columnist for the Seattle Times, actually spoke to and based a column on the work of a brand new, newly elected Seattle City Councilman, Andrew Lewis, who, of course, it's Seattle City Council. He's not a conservative, but maybe he can look at things with a little bit of a fresh eyes. And Danny Westneat writes in the Seattle Times, recently the freshman Seattle City Councilman Andrew Lewis was listening to a discussion on the extreme rise in gun violence in our city. And some simple questions were raised that he realized he didn't know the concrete answers to. Who's doing the shooting? And where? So he asked police for some data on shots fired in the city, cross-referenced with other factors the cops knew about each incident. The answers that came back have him saying some unusual-sounding things in progressive Seattle that have some fellow council members looking at me a little funny, Councilman Lewis said. Things like, it is, quote, it is blatantly evident that a significant amount of the city's crime and disorder is attributable to conditions in homeless encampments. In other words, no, we're not just talking about people who are temporarily down on their luck and having a rough spot. We're talking about actual festering sores of criminality, sores infecting the body politic. He also heard Andrew Lewis that things like it is blatantly evident that a significant amount of the city's crime and disorder is attributable to conditions in homeless encampments, and it was easy to say, oh, leave the poor encampments alone when there weren't very many of them. What Lewis found is that more than 18% of all shots fired incidents in Seattle in the last year were associated with homelessness. That according to police records. This means, I mean, it's incredible when you think about that 18%, almost one out of five. This means that the victim or suspect are experiencing homelessness, or that the shooting occurred at, near, a homeless encampment or RV, the police said. These shootings were up 122% in 2021 versus 2020. A nexus to homelessness accounted for the largest portion of incidents in the city, the police said, more than gang-related shootings, domestic violence, nightlife-related incidents, road rage shootings during robberies, or any other category. More homeless-related shootings than gang-related shootings? Of the 113 homelessness-related shootings this year, most were in the Chinatown International District, 23 incidents, followed by Northgate in the downtown commercial district with 11 incidents each. About half of the shootings caused injury, 56 of them, or death, 5 of them. Councilman Lewis runs the city council's Committee on Homelessness. He was shaken by the data, not because he didn't know the unauthorized encampments were dangerous, but because his own committee hadn't grappled with the extent of it. Probably nobody on his committee would have guessed that homelessness and the encampments were a bigger associating factor with Seattle's shooting epidemic than gang activity. Although there's also some crossover between the two. It means people who, gangs who go to homeless encampments. When I say it's homeless, it's a misnomer, a police assistant chief echoed in the Seattle Times last week in a story about how 40% of the police homicide unit's caseload is related to homeless encampments. Okay, let me try that again. 40% of the police homicide unit's caseload is connected to homeless encampments. Quote, we're seeing the violence centered on illegal encampments where there's a great sense of lawlessness that concentrates bad actors and concentrates narcotics in one area. I'm not making any argument from the data as to the causation of the shootings, said the police official. Or Andrew Lewis said that, I'm sorry. Encampments, though, are massive, and they are. You can just see them. You can see them everywhere. And they're magnets for crime. On that, the data is clear. Clearing away encampments is seen as criminalizing poverty, and so they've often been allowed to stay and grow out of a sense of compassion. That's what you hear all the time. It is not compassionate to allow people to live their lives under those circumstances. It's just unbelievable what has developed here. And Danny Westneat says that I've argued in this space for more than a decade now that allowing these makeshift encampments is a humanitarian catastrophe. Back to the days of the jungle, which itself was only closed after a mass shooting. It's an embarrassment to both Seattle and the liberal project. We need more shelter, tiny house villages, tent cities, motel rooms, safe parking lots, FEMA facilities, so that the city can end the shanty town tragedy and provide safer, managed places for people to go. Someone disagree with that? 1-800-955-1776.
Was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free, so I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN, Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show, the very conclusion of the column by Danny Westney about the homeless encampments and crime, where, of course, it's very uncomfortable for people on the left in Seattle to even acknowledge that there's a connection. But there is an obvious connection. And again, you think that all the people who wander or shamble down Third Avenue and participate in those drug deals, you think all those people have a place to stay at night, do they? They have homes? Or is their home basically in these lovely little communities that have sprouted up everywhere? Danny Westney says, speaking to Andrew Lewis, a freshman councilman who's actually shown some guts to actually take on this issue. He says, I asked Lewis what his aim was for speaking out so bluntly, other than potentially getting himself run out of office. He's got that right. I think we haven't been entirely honest about the public safety impacts of this issue for some time, the councilman said. That's really it. It feels like Seattle is at a pivot point right now and can stand to hear these facts. Hope he's right, says Westneat. But these encampments have long been Seattle's most perplexing blind spot. A lot is riding on which way we pivot or if we can change course at all. The course right now is, so here we are again with this same choice. We can pay to get people inside into temporary shelter as a start, and then prod it along by clearing out the encampments. Or we can keep saying, leave the poor encampments alone. How's that policy working out? I'll tell you something that worked out. It's worth our attention. Our tweet of the day.
Turn the page now to the internet.
I mean, wow, what a great, smart tweet.
Change his password so he no longer has access to his Twitter feed.
Did you send the tweet?
I did not send that tweet. My system was hacked. I was pranked.
Donald Trump hasn't tweeted at us once, and I'm starting to get worried about him.
So we have a new tweet.
All right.
Can I do the honors?
Stand by. Tweet alert.
Okay,
This is a tweet from Joy Ann Reed, who now has taken a new name, or a new designation at least, a designation that identifies her as Joy Ann Pro-Democracy Reed. She, of course, a talk show host, and she's been a guest on the show. I'd love to have her back. She's been a talk show host on MSNBC. And what she says is, she says this in her most recent tweets that have gotten a very enthusiastic response, as you can imagine. The greatest and sickest irony of the GOP's new political strategy is that they are appealing to the most prurient fears of white Christian parents while passing bills and maintaining alliances that normalize child brides and rape as a legitimate means of procreation. Now, I'm not at all sure that she's talking about what bill she's talking about that normalize child brides and rape, but she'll go on. It's Putinite fascism mixed with Talibanism. And it's what they hope to impose on us. Unbreakable rule by far-right Christian ideologues, coal and oil polluters, well-heeled corporations, and the super-rich, with all rights hoarded by white Christian men and everyone else under firm control. And this was illustrated by a whole whole stream of tweets with pictures from the Handmaid's Tale, which illustrates her view of what conservatives are. I mean, the idea that this is the prurient fears of white parents, I think she's specifically speaking about the debate in Florida about the parental rights bill, which basically gave parents a right to challenge any attempt to bring sexual discussions or, quote, sexual information into kids below third grade. I mean, honestly, it's below third grade that you're talking about. That's what this argument is about. And the notion that somehow not allowing people to have classroom propaganda about various forms of sexual expression or sexual identity, that is the equivalent of Talibanism or Putinite fascism. Good luck. And by the way, how does this contribute to actually working together constructively in this country? Which is something that the newly confirmed Chief Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, Ketanji Brown Jackson, says she favors. Thanks for your contribution, Joy Ann Pro-Democracy Reed. There's a much worthier contribution from a leader abroad who had this to say on 60 Minutes. I'm talking now about the elected president of Ukraine. He won in a landslide. Of course, Volodymyr Zelensky. Listen, clip one.
My family understood, not only understood, but fully supported my decision. Fully. It was the decision that saved Ukraine from immediate collapse. Good evening, everyone, he said. We are all here. Our soldiers are here. The citizens of the country are here. We are all here protecting our independence, our country, and we're going to continue. The Russian invasion plan expected Kyiv to fall in 3 days, but that relied on one assumption, that Zelensky would run. When everyone is telling you you need to go, you need to think. Before I do something, I analyze the situation. I've always done it calmly, without any chaos. I might not be the
Yeah, and that has certainly been a characteristic of his leadership. There's also this voice, very much that came up appropriately, his message to Americans. Listen.
What do you have to say to the American people?
I think there is no big difference between Americans or Ukrainians, totally between people. There are people and there are somebody who are ready to fight and to take your life. Yes, that is the difference. I think so, that the world changed, and that's it. I just want to thank that for your support, and support, first of all, for people, because all the people, all the nations, first of all, they push their leaders. It's not only about your country, it's about our country. It's about all the world.
I think it's extraordinary that we have the opportunity for the world to come together. We were speaking earlier with Jeffrey Shapiro about the scary prospect that this could actually divide some people within the Republican base, and it shouldn't. Just look at the UN vote, where 93 nations united in voting Russia off the Human Rights Council. 93 nations stood up to Russia. And who were the 23 nations who backed Russia on this? Well, there was China, big surprise, not a freedom-loving nation. And then some of the most unfortunate nations in the world. I mean, really some of the most repressed and nightmarish nations in the world. Many of them extraordinarily poor nations with autocrats in Africa. Cuba was there. Vietnam was there. But in terms of nations that the United States would like to emulate or admire or learn from, and sure, it's possible for us to learn from other nations. There are two great nations, both wonderful nations that always turn up very high on lists of most livable, happiest nations, Finland and Sweden, that now apparently are going to be fast-tracked into the European Union and to NATO. I think they're already in the European Union. That could be a remarkably positive development, and one that could only serve the long-term interests of this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients, and its alcohol free too. It's Vine to Bar Chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's Vine to Bar. Vine to Bar Chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers. Customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.